once again to Cortana's Communiques, the Halo podcast, a weekly podcast on the television series Halo on Paramount Plus, once known as CBS All Access. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
A bit of a head cold, but other than that, I'm fine.
Very good. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
Good.
And in the Canadian province of Alberta, Canada.
Hey, everybody. Sean. Hope you're doing well.
Indeed. All right. So today is March 25th, 2024, that we're recording this. For those who are curious, because some of our listeners are always curious when we record our episodes, including Pam, because sometimes they're not released immediately, though this one will be released probably tomorrow, which will be March 26th, 2024. So who are we and what we do and what are we a part of? Well, we are the Halo podcast, so we talk weekly about each episode. This week, we're talking about the season finale of season two. We are part of the Dark Discussions News Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. We have an email, which is darkdiscussions@aol.com. We have a Facebook group called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group, where you can talk all things Halo if you want, or anything else genre-related. We do have some other stuff on darkdiscussions.com, the website. And Sean, what's that one thing?
So you can go on the website and click on the link for Patreon, which is a way that people can support creators. And what it'll do, take you to Patreon, and it's a way that you can financially support different creators that you enjoy or follow or whatever. In this regard, the podcast is released free across all the different platforms, but there's a ton of expenses behind the scenes. So anything that you can donate each month is appreciated. Even if it's $1 a month, that helps. For every $5 that you're able to donate each month, you'll actually get to put in a name for a movie you wanted to have a review done for. And that goes into a draw every quarter. Again, understanding that these financial times are not easy for a lot of people, if you don't have the money to be able to financially support us, even just sharing the podcast and stuff on social media helps, and just supporting us as you are and have done to this point in time. Thank you for that. It's appreciated to give us a chance to be able to do this, whether it's this specific podcast or if it's any other podcast within the Dark Discussions empire. Thank you.
And we do have places you can find this podcast besides darkdiscussions.com, as Sean mentioned, wherever podcasts are found. We have the podcast available. It's under two different feeds. It's under Cortana's Communiques, and it's also under the Dark Discussions podcast feed. And the reason for that is the Dark Discussions podcast feed is the all-encompassing feed where all your co-hosts that you hear on this podcast participate on the podcast that are on the other podcasts that are on that feed, the Dark Discussions podcast feed. So if you want to hear more than just the Halo, you can join that podcast too, or I should say that podcast feed. The podcast feed can be found, like I said, wherever podcasts are found. However, Google Podcasts is about to shut down permanently the beginning of April, and that's literally next week. So if you're listening to Dark Discussions Podcast or Cortana's Communiques, make sure you switch to a different podcast feed on a different, well, let me rephrase that, the same feed, but on a different podcast location. So like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or something like that. We're all on those as well as the other ones that you would think of. Make sure you subscribe there. Share the podcast wherever you are on social media and leave reviews wherever you can, such as Apple Podcasts and whatnot, and make sure they're very positive reviews, we would hope. All right, so what we do here on this podcast here, we talk about everything and anything related to Cortana's Communiques, which is, in other words, the Halo television series, because we're assuming people who listen to this podcast are fans or watchers of the television series and already have seen each episode, and now they're coming to listen to podcasts, read reviews, and whatnot, and they're hear other thoughts by other people, including us. We've been fairly harsh on this season as well as the series for obvious reasons due to the major changes from the source material. But we're here tonight to most talk about the finale of season two, and we will continue talking about random things about the series as well. All right, so let's get into our thoughts on the episode tonight, which we're talking about, and it is called Halo. So episode 17 total.
Overall,
in episode,
yeah.
In episode 8 of season 2, it's called Halo, and it is directed by Denny Gordon and written by David Weiner. And that was released on March 21st, 2024. Now, I'm bringing up, Copilot, which is, I think Microsoft's AI, and, looking to see if there's a season 3 Halo coming out. And so far, let's see what it says. Last time we checked, it was not officially confirmed. And so far, there is no other information, has not been confirmed. We do have some, interesting information, that Sean has put together that we'll talk about, as well as, a screenshot Mike, put in our instant message group for our, podcast that shows certain numbers, and he'll explain that to us as well. But we're also here to talk specifically about the finale. So let's go around and discuss our thoughts on this episode here. So let's start with you, Barrett.
Yeah, I like this episode a lot. I think it's probably the best episode of the 17. I think that if there was no first season, this season would have been okay, comparatively, if it had started with this season. The episode itself was pretty much action-packed. It had a lot of stuff in it. Things, I think, that could have been spread and peppered throughout the season a little better to make it a more even season. But it was, like I said, it was the best episode of the season. It's not saying a huge amount, but it is the best, in my opinion.
All right, sounds good. For me, yes, I watched this today prior to I'm sorry, it was at lunchtime. And so I watched it at that time, fit perfectly in the lunch hour. My thoughts on, this versus the rest of the season and whatnot. Definitely there were some flaws, with this episode for sure. Mm-hmm. However, I think it was the best episode of the season and of the series out of all 17 episodes of the series. Unfortunately, it is the 17th episode in the series when it should have been the first episode of
Too Little Too Late, right?
Yeah, it should have been episode 1 of season 1. This is how it should have started. The whole thing should have started right there. But yeah, so unfortunately we had to go through 16 episodes of very mixed
16 episodes. And a half episodes to get to the actual Halo.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just talking about that. Yeah, but that's a fair point. We'll talk about that. But yeah, once they hit here, it was pretty good. Unfortunately, there was some issues, and we'll get into those as well. I did mention this offline to Sean when I was talking to him through text earlier today, that this feels like a reimagining or an alternate Halo world and not the Halo that we know, because of certain deaths of characters and mysticism is now part of the series when it has nothing to do with the game. Ethnic and racial swaps of characters, just a lot of strange things that happened. It was interesting that they decided to go with a Caucasian actor to play Master Chief when they could have just used a person of color, and it versus, you know, just stuffing it with a lot of changes with keys because he was Caucasian in the video game. Again, a lot of things, these don't really matter. That, those are minor things. But it's just something I noticed based off of all the television series that are brand new. I wanted to bring that up. So send a hate mail if you think I'm wrong with that. But all in all, I think it was a pretty solid episode, as Barrett did. Let's go with you, Sean.
Okay, so as I've been negative Nelly for a while on the series, the fact that it took 16 and a half episodes to get to the Halo, I did some math, which I shared with you guys, which is that it's 17 episodes. It was 1,014 minutes for all of those episodes combined. And we spent a total of 10.77 minutes on the Halo in a series called Halo.
Yeah, that's a problem. So, that's a big problem.
So as Phil had said, if this had been the first episode of the first season, I would have a much different feeling about it. But the fact that it took us 16 and a half freaking episodes to just get to the Halo, is just, it boggles my mind as to what they were thinking. Other than stretching stuff out and adding a whole bunch of stuff that didn't need to be in there, you could have like really put this into a fewer episodes and actually just made those episodes good. For a consistent basis, not one good episode and then a bunch that are not good, and then you might get one that's good and then a bunch that aren't good. So for this episode, I still had issues with a bunch of stuff that was happening. I can see, though, why by finally getting to the Halo and acknowledging some of that stuff, it's like it's you're like trying to, I don't know, grasp at straws or whatever, but at this point, but it's like you have gone so long to get to this point. I just, as I say, for myself, it's just very frustrating, and just it makes the previous, you know, ton of episodes just feel just like what was the point of them, aside from having side characters who become Jedis and all kinds of other fun stuff. So that's, I think that's basically how I felt. I was just kind of meh on the episode, understanding that it was probably the best out of the 17.
All right. Anything else, Sean?
Nope, that's good for me.
All right. We'll talk further about some of the things that you mentioned when we start talking about the episode. And let's go view Mike.
Yeah. It's tough. There was cool stuff in this episode. But as you point out, cool stuff way overdue. And as much as I have tried maintain an open mind for the series, it gets harder and harder with each misstep along the way to give them benefit of the doubt. And when we get here, for all the cool stuff that there was also a great big scoop of I don't give a shit because I'm just not bought into this world that they've created. And again, if for some reason this is your first time listening, I am not invested in the world of Halo. I played the first game. It's the only one I know. I didn't play any of the others. I don't know the world other than what I've read online and what I've been trying to catch up with as we've done this podcast. You know, it's the finale for Jaws. I always use this as a reference where they realize it's not exciting enough, and Spielberg says, well, here's the thing. We have the shark eating the oxygen tank, and Brody shoots the oxygen tank and blows the shark up. And they said, well, that's just stupid. Then Spielberg said, listen, if they're with us, they won't care. And if they're not with us, it won't matter. Well, this was the episode where they blew up the oxygen tank, and I just don't care because I wasn't with them. They lost me 2 or 3 episodes ago easily. And so, yes, neat stuff. And yes, this is stuff they should have done somewhere in the first couple of episodes, preferably episode 1 or 2. Some of that stuff they never could have done because it's all like setup stuff. There's whole subplots that were a massive waste of time. You know, if you can go through an entire season, delete a character's subplot, and have no impact on the main arc of the season, that character and that subplot was a waste of time. And I think we could say that for at least two of the characters. So, yeah, one of the best episodes this season, sure. I still kind of prefer the Reach episode because I was still more emotionally invested in that one. Second best, or first best, fine, no problem. Still a lot of problems with this episode, and it is what it is.
All right, sounds good. All right, so that's our thoughts on the season finale of season two. We'll now start talking about this episode itself, and then we'll talk about the future of the series or anything else that we wanted to bring up. But we'll start talking about episode eight, Halo. So let's begin. So I'll say this, and again, the whole thing's spoiler because, again, this isn't the Dark Discussions podcast where we're talking about a movie. This is a show that everybody's watched and come to hear our opinions. I will say there was a lot of cookies. A lot of cookies, as Mike says, last week when I said it like fan service, and then Mike made it funny by saying cookies. Phil, was the cookies good enough? I go, yeah, you know. This one, there was a lot of good cookies. They had the Flood. They had the Halo. They had Cortana. They had the big reveal at the end of the Monitor, or Oracle, if you prefer, the little floating robot that the Forerunners had made. There was a lot of action and excitement. So a lot of cookies, a lot of cookies. But as Mike mentioned, and I'll name four characters, he said two, but I'll go ahead and even say four, that not only didn't we need Quan or Maki, because those are the ones I'm sure you were referring to, Mike, but we didn't need Miranda or Soren either, it seems. I have no idea why any of these characters are there. The deaths that occurred, I'm not too happy with the death of the Arbiter, assuming that they're not going to replace the Arbiter with another Arbiter, because since they're aliens, like, you know, a bunch of Labrador Retrievers together that you don't own, you'll not know which one is yours. Maybe they're thinking that they can just replace the Arbiter with another Arbiter. And
that's going to be hard. Where are you going to find another actor of that caliber?
Well, that's another problem. He wasn't on the screen that much, too. We should have done that to see how many seconds the Arbiter was on
in the two
seasons. But so they kill one of the best characters in the video games, at least in my opinion. They killed Admiral Keyes off a long time ago, meaning on the episode Reach, and he lasts for a good four or five or six of the games before he gets killed. And then Sean horrified me when he mentioned this, and he's absolutely right. If they're trying to say that Miranda is going to be able to cure the Flood, that's going to be absolutely ludicrous, ridiculous, and disgusting. Because, as Sean mentioned, the Forerunners, who created the Halos intentionally to destroy the entire universe so the Flood won't – or galaxy – so the Flood won't spread – couldn't cure the Flood. So if some random nobody, Miranda, I don't care if she's a brilliant scientist or not, we can't
not
even cure
brilliant.
AIDS. We can't cure AIDS, cancer, hepatitis, herpes, on and on and on, MS.
Well, you can't assume they're going to do that. She just saved her mom thinking she can. That's the human hubris. That doesn't mean she will.
But no. But
we can speculate a lot of different things.
Barrett, we got to look at this as a television show, not as a real universe, because as we know, especially on this show, characters don't die when they should be dead. Maki should already be dead, and she's still alive. And so
she won.
If they're gonna put what's her face in cryogenic, Halsey in cryogenic, that means that's a checkoff. She's coming back now. I don't think they're going to just bring her back so she can be a monster for 10 minutes and then you have to shoot her in the head. So that's why I didn't like it, and that's why I'm going all the way, Barrett, and saying that they're gonna.
There has to be another season for that to happen, and I don't think there's gonna be. So,
it's right, really, but this was all created anyway. As if this was all created as if there is gonna be another season, right? So we're assuming, we're playing this out as if there's a season three already in the written, if not created, because. Okay. Because that's, I mean, go on, Bert.
I'm probably not going to have much to say tonight. I'm tired of shitting on the show. I mean, I know there's flaws in it. I like this episode, and, you know, I could go on and on about the things I didn't like about it, but there's some things that I just don't agree with, and I don't feel like arguing about them tonight, so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know we were even arguing, but if you think we are, that's fair.
It's just all the comments about how horrible it is. It's dragging me down. So that's cool. I just don't have much to say beyond that.
Right. Well, I don't know if there's a it depends on your definition of how, saying the show, whatever you said it was, because again, critiquing versus ripping the show just to rip the show.
We've said all these things week after week after week. So I mean, at some point it's just, we're just keeping on top of what we said already, and it's
okay,
pointless.
Well, all right, well, I just want to defend what I said was, I was.
You don't need to defend it. What you said is right. It's fine. It's just, I don't want to. I'm tired of shitting on the show. So.
Oh, all right.
I'm done with that.
Okay, but all I'm saying is the things that I'm putting into play are specifically related to this one episode, not for the series. All the things that I just said. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
I get it.
Fair enough. Okay, so where do we want to go? Since I don't want to make it sound like I was just critiquing it negatively continuously. If someone else wants to continue. Sean, let's go with your numbers. Mike, let's go with yours. Yours may be positive. What was that picture?
Did my review sound like it was a positive review?
No. The picture you put in the IM.
I don't have any context for when that, it was from a video on YouTube. Where they said that it seemed to be doing well and therefore would probably be getting a season three. And it was just the number of minutes streamed. It was 300-something million minutes for Halo. But I don't know at what point in the show that was. And I'd seen someone else later, but I didn't screen grab that, which had it down pretty far. So I have no idea. Like, there may have been a large uptick of people tuning in the first episode for a couple of episodes, because new showrunner, give it another chance, we listen to the criticism, blah, 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 blah. And I think, actually, we weren't so bad. It's really been, I think it was after the Reach episode, which is episode 4, 5, 6, 7, where the writing really got sketchy. It wasn't great before that, but there were some really bad bits, I think, in the last two episodes. And, so I don't know where it is. I mean, I think it started out well, but they haven't announced anything. And if it ends up in the toilet, I have not seen any reviews online by people who actually watch the show for hypothetical fun and pleasure who actually like it, right? Who are like, yes, I want to see more. The best I get is, can we just please start over? So, I would not bring back these showrunners. This at least gives them a starting point. There's all sorts of things they could do to wipe some of the slate clean. I think there's some things they've kind of shot their load, and they're not going to be able to get back. I'm sure if they want to have another character, another Arbiter in the Arbiter role, they could do that. You know, that's not such a big deal. You can put somebody else in the Admiral Kane role. That's not a big deal. You know, it's just a matter of one character stepping in place of another. Movies and books do that all the time. But I have no idea where the ratings are. They started out really well. I don't know how well they've carried through, especially for a Paramount Plus show, right? Because Paramount Plus is like fifth or sixth in viewership compared to Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, probably Tubi.
Apple Plus, maybe, or Apple.
Apple Plus is down there with it. Yeah, it's it's a very steep.
Peacock's slope. Another one. Peacock, right?
Right. So it's a steep slope. It's like it's a bit of a J curve, right? Where you have Netflix is very high, and it's and it decreases rather dramatically. And then when you get down to like the fifth, sixth, seventh, they're all really close to each other. HBO Max and Paramount and Peacock and Apple, they're all in that same neighborhood. So they're all like scrambling on top of each other with Netflix looking down on them from way up on high. I have no idea. I have no idea if there's going to be a season three. I don't know if it would be a good thing to have a season three because I have no faith in these people running it. Because as we've said, as Barry said, we've been saying it again and again, they looked at what the criticisms were and they seem to have doubled down on the criticisms rather than adjust accordingly.
Well,
and this one episode doesn't make up for all that.
Right. It felt like the oops, we should have done this earlier episode. And it was a really good episode. It's just it wasn't soon enough for them to save a show that has been mired in slowness and, you know, plot holes until this point.
Well, and them trying to, they want us to care about certain characters, which I kind of like the actress. And I said this before, but when they killed off Soren's wife, whose name I still can't remember.
Yeah, that's
I didn't care.
Larry, I actually cared. I cared because I liked her as a character.
I liked her. But
the show won't be missing anything by her not being there.
Right. I didn't care that they saved Perez. I didn't care who lived and who died. Halsey, I don't care if she comes back or not. To me, that seemed like the whole, we're going to put you in cryo freeze and we'll see how our contract negotiations go over in the off season.
I was actually surprised that she got infected by the flood. I did not expect that.
Yeah. And there were things that in the whole, I am legitimately irritated at, the whole Quan and the Red Witch storyline. And I understand that Pi's alive. I don't understand how.
Is she? I mean, we saw her out there, but she wasn't moving.
Yeah, but she was in the middle of a ship that blew up.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I thought that was weird too. Yeah,
it should have been incinerated.
Incinerated, yep. Because it was two ginormous ships that just. No, maybe it was the vacuum. The vacuum put the fire out.
Yeah,
maybe just
I don't
put
know.
Some duct tape on her. I'm sure she'll be fine.
Those are the little details that really bring it down. If I don't focus on those, the episode in general was pretty good. But yeah, there's little things like that. Like it takes away from her sacrifice, right? By her living, it's like you just took everything away from her that she did. If she's still alive, and that's kind of dumb.
Well, right, I don't even care about that. I just care about the fact is when someone does something heroic like that, or just does something like that, you're dead.
Right.
You just don't bring them back. It's just stupid.
And
so
if
I don't
you
care
do,
about...
it's dumb, and it takes away from their heroism by doing that. I know you don't care about that, but I think it's important in character development.
Yeah, I guess.
The problem is they're killing everybody off, and they're keeping Quan alive.
Yeah.
Well, because she has some deep-seated connection to the Flood somehow. And there are,
She had blackmail on the producers. The only thing I can do.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I know in the game there was no mysticism, but there is in the books. And it's more of a technology is so advanced you can't understand it type of thing. There are gods in the Halo universe that they believe in, whether they exist or not, I don't know. There is some mysticism, but
it's not supernatural. It's just faith.
Or it could be racial memory or something like that, down to genetics.
This is the sort of thing I get into on occasion when I'm dumb enough to get lured into these conversations with some of the Star Wars fanatics online or Star Trek fanatics. I'm like, the people who read the books are a fraction of a fraction of the people who watch the movies or watch or play the games in the case of Halo. They're not ever, like with Star Wars, they're not ever going to give a shit about contradicting something that was in a Star Wars novel that 10,000 people read when they can make a movie that contradicts it 300 million people are going to watch.
No,
just,
I agree with
no
that.
No context. And but, when they're making, and so when they're making the show, sure, they can tap into the novels and stuff like that, but the primary source needs to be the thing that people have actually watched. And that's the games.
I agree with that, but if we're going to criticize it because we don't like it, then we have to be willing to talk about it.
So, no, I'm willing to, look, if this stuff was well done, and I just, I've been saying
exactly,
this was,
I just read a post well saying done, that.
It is badly written. All right, I came in wanting to watch a good science fiction show with you know, a heavy dose of action, and I was not in any way married to the larger Halo universe. You know, I've said this time and again. You know, it's
that's exactly what somebody said in a post on Twitter. They said if they did a good job with the shamanism, nobody would care, but they didn't. That's the problem.
I don't know. I think I would care because I was looking straight for
but you're weird.
Military science
you're
fiction.
You're weird. Yeah,
no, I just
weird,
wanted though. I just wanted military science fiction. That's all.
I don't consider what we're seeing in here Jedi powers. I mean, Jedi are completely different than what we're seeing. We're just seeing her with some type of connection. To it could be an AI for all we know.
She's got a connection to a person that she never met.
But and that character, if they just eliminated her, there wouldn't be any mysticism in the show at all, except for Mackie's connection, I guess.
Right,
but
they could. They don't. We don't need her character. We could have had the Flood without her.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah. I don't think we needed anything to do with the telekinesis or whatever the hell it's called, telepathy, mysticism, reading.
Well, I'm
future.
Not sure it's even telepathy. She's just seeing things. She could be hallucinating for all we know.
But. Right, but
that would be insane.
But we know that's not why it's that in the show. It's not because she's insane. It's because they wanted to put in her seeing supernatural, you know, seeing things. And I don't know why they added it to this show. I mean, you said it's in the book, so maybe that's fine. But
no, I'm not saying that specifically. Is I'm saying there is the idea of mysticism, but it's usually linked to technology that we don't understand because it's so advanced beyond us. And there is, like, it seems like there's racial memory in some of the things that I've read too. And with the Forerunners, for sure, there's some type of thing like that. So I'm just saying that, you know, there is some types of mysticism, things that, you know, are not as deep as maybe we're looking or what they're trying to do here. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Right. Yeah.
We have no clue what she's seeing, and she's seeing it on different planets. So,
the original showrunners for some reason decided to put her character with this supernatural stuff involved, and I'm not sure why, because we could remove the character. I think you would agree as well, Brad, had they never had this character,
it would make no difference to the show.
Right that's at least
absolutely no difference to the show.
Right, so her being there, we have to make the best of it. And I was liking it for a bit when she was just a gunner killing, you know, aliens or bad people, because you know, that she's hanging out with the Spartans. But unfortunately, they split them all up again.
I don't even like that they've made her a badass, because they've never given any training background for her being a badass. So that just is a weak thing, too. So her character just doesn't have a lot of reason to exist other than, oh, my ancestors were great. My dad was great. I'm great too.
There's nothing like the light bridge. There's nothing that they could have done that they had her do that the other two couldn't have done. Right.
Right. Yep. Right.
She has been pointless, and again, we've said it along. This is not an issue with the actress. This is an issue with the creation of and the writing of this character.
Yeah, she's doing fine.
The actress is fine. Please do not hate write the actress. Write the writers if you're going to hate write anybody or the showrunners. She's a puppet on a string, and she's being made to dance a dumb dance.
And it's even funnier because now that they have to get rid of characters, they're getting rid of so many characters. It's like the one that they could have gotten rid of for sure was her, because she really had no purpose. But obviously they've made a ginormous purpose for her.
Why? Right. Well, can someone tell me? So we ended up last episode with the three of them in the room with the light bridge, right? And they run back.
Yep.
We come into this episode. No time seems to have passed, or very little.
Right, and they separate. They're gone, separated.
And all, they're all separated, and somehow she's with Soren.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
And then there's a scene. Holly disappears for a while, and then she shows up in the command, and she's communicating with her daughter. And says, "So, have you been arrested?" And she's like, "I'm not really sure." I was like, "Yes, thank you. I have no idea." Like
nobody does,
right.
Because the two of you were on the planet, I think illegally, right? They were shooting at you when they last saw you, and now they're just letting you stand in the middle of the comm center, and Quan is running around unimpeded and with Soren, and I'm like, I don't understand.
Well,
that brings up a question, though. How did the flood start going if it didn't infect what's her name first, the girl
Miranda.
Why did it infect her?
Well, I don't understand the whole thing anyway, because I brought this up to Sean. I mean, it was great that the flood's involved.
Yeah,
they changed it from how it happened in the games and in the real universe, as Sean mentioned to me offline. But the problem was if Miranda knew that there was spores on it, how was it not kept locked away in like a bio lab and people could just go and touch it like this random English woman?
Exactly what I wondered.
Well, and Janine, right? Like, I like the actress of Janine. She played with perky character, and it's like, okay.
Oh,
she's dead.
She was great. I love that character.
And then, did you touch it? No, I didn't touch it. I'm like, oh, you touched it, didn't you? I'll take the fact that diseases aren't bullets. You know, nothing's 100%. You never know what sticks and what doesn't to whom and under what circumstances. So, fine. One person walks through the room, gets sick. One person walks through the same room and doesn't. That's how diseases, even spores, work. I don't know about genetically engineered
spores by
super races.
This is an alien thing, though, Mike.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I'm okay with that. Maybe when she was handling it, they weren't awake. But who was that down in the jail cell with them that was infected?
I did care, though. I'll tell you.
That was her. That was the
woman. That was her, and then she spread it to the guard.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you do when you have someone infected by alien spores, is you just throw them in a jail cell with everybody else.
Well, they didn't know because Miranda wasn't talking to anybody or telling anybody.
So look at her. She was clearly infected by something.
I asked Sean that offline too. I go, I can't believe I'm 40 minutes into the episode and Miranda hasn't gone and checked up on that woman and, you know, that maybe she got infected because she's disappeared. And she's
it's a medical lab. Doesn't it have like a quarantine thing, like a lockdown where somebody's
exactly.
like, holy shit,
and it's a high security military facility
except
that has no alarm system.
No alarm system.
Right.
But the best part about it is the general got her just desserts, or the admiral, whatever.
Did she?
The admiral.
Yeah, she got eaten.
I think she died too soon. Too quickly.
That's
maybe
fair.
She'll come back. Maybe she'll come back.
It's fair. Fair.
Yeah.
Gilmore deserves to be slowly lowered into the vat of acid over the course of about a week. death. That's.
She did sacrifice millions of people just for her plan.
Yes.
It worked out spectacularly too.
Yes. That was I mean the flood taking over the whatever that's called, the bridge.
The
was,
CNC.
Was pretty,
yeah.
Was pretty awesome.
Control. Yeah, it was. That was the best scene, I think, cuz right as Halsey walks out and the door closes, everybody's in there getting attacked and dying.
Right.
Or turning, whichever. I don't know how the flood works. Does it? Do you just as everybody turn?
It basically is like cordyceps, where it just takes over your
that rewrites your DNA and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So they don't like eat some of them. They all live. They all become the flood.
They all become part of like the hive.
Yeah,
the hive thing.
Well, yeah, technically, you're dead. Your brain is dead, and now you're the hive, and that includes both the Covenant and the humans because the flood infects both of them in the video game, and it's pretty awesome when you're fighting the flood because you see a zombie human and a zombie elite and then a zombie. You know, it's just pretty awesome. It's kind of cool. But So those were some of the good things. Is it took us the same amount of time to see the flood, to see the oracle, to see the oracle is the little floating ball, to see a monitor if you prefer. Exactly. It took us everything, and even Cortana. Cortana was pretty awesome in this episode.
This episode could have been the whole season.
Yes, that would. This
or a movie.
In other words, it could have done this whole thing as a movie.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but see now, my Cortana thing, I missed it the first time around. She's on the ship, and then suddenly I missed how she ended up with Master Chief. Punches the console.
I'll tell you how I did it. So what happened was, first of all, I got to say, Mackie has awesome stilettos. Those are fucking great. But
yeah.
They were pretty awesome. But
I agree.
After she kills Cortana. When she can't, because Cortana is a program.
It's already infected everything.
It is already spread, as we know, because she talked to the Admiral already. When he punches the ship bridge computer, Cortana goes inside him.
Yep.
Like, that's how Cortana...
Yeah, I get it. I'm saying that's silly.
But you don't know everything. Like he said, you don't know everything.
I mean, I would have preferred that it was done where he just takes a USB drive or USB drive and plugs
it in. And she seems resolved to going down with the ship. She doesn't say, hey, Master Chief, just touch the console and I'll upload to you.
That would have been cool. That would have been better.
He, like, forcibly absorbs her. I don't know. It was just – are you kidding me? Anyway, it's –
It was for drama.
Yeah. You have cool moments, like you had Perez shooting the two needlers, and yes, that's cool. I'm willing to say yes, that was cool. That was nice to see.
When they said that your first time shooting a blaster, you'll never forget it.
Plasma rifle, you'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But
I didn't like that Master Chief beat the Arbiter by beating the shit out of him. I would have rather he killed him with the sword or something.
Yeah.
Hand to hand seemed kind of lame to me.
Well, see, there's the thing. And when you don't expect better, okay, Arbiter's beating the shit out of Master Chief, gets him on the ground, leaps up in the air to do his wrestling move, and flings his sword away as far as possible. Punch Master Chief in his armored helmet, which he was wearing, which points for that. He was wearing the helmet. I'm like, really? He's the whole goal has been to kill the demon this whole time. You've got him down on the ground at your mercy, and you're going to pummel him with your fists of fury instead of just stabbing him in the chest, which I'm pretty sure would have worked.
You know what probably threw him was that Master Chief was wearing his armor. Yeah. He wasn't expecting that.
Well, they did that whole stopped move where he put the helmet on and they did like a little pan out and look at him. And now he's fully armored. And I think I yelled at the TV, finally, it only took 8 episodes.
Oh, that's another good one to add to the good, which is we finally got to see Master Chief as Master Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was disappointed with the Arbiter fight. Because in the video game, they eventually join up, kind of, sort of. And so I thought they were going to go there, but instead they just killed him off. But again, like you said, Mike, they could just replace him with another elite that is disillusioned, and he becomes the new Arbiter or something like that. Which
I'm still trying to figure out what exactly he was seeking redemption for.
Who, the Arbiter?
Yes.
Yeah, because he wasn't really... What he was is that he considered at least in the video games, he considers the leaders of the Covenant heretics and false prophets, and he is more legitimate. And so I agree, because he never felt that he had betrayed. He feels the Covenant betrayed. So you're right. There was nothing for him to feel.
Well,
you're right.
It would have worked better if there was no Mackie, because then we would have had to focus on the aliens themselves instead of some stupid human intermediary. they would have felt more alien if Mackie didn't exist, and we would have gotten more closer to his character, I think, and that's a big problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Bringing up Mackie, it's like, besides her awesome stilettos, what was her point? Because she's supposed to be dead from season one, and then is she supposed to be a love interest or something? I don't know where they're going with her character. Because
why would the aliens even place that much faith in her or trust? I don't get that at all.
I guess it's because she has the mysticism stuff.
Whatever.
Right? Like, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I mean,
they want to wipe out everybody. I mean, they don't. I don't know. Just seems kind of lame that they would have some human that's hanging on to them that has some sort of powers, you know, like can tell them what to do and stuff, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
If every time we saw the aliens, all we got were subtitles, I would have liked that a lot more. It would have made them feel alien to me. I would have enjoyed them it would have felt very different to me.
I was okay, even if they had the aliens speak English, because in the video game they speak English.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, even Mackie, you know, you're right. They did use the subtitles, and Mackie spoke in their language and speak in English. So that, you know, that kind of worked. But you're right. There was no reason for her to be there, and they could have just had the aliens talking to each other with the subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, but yeah, we'll see where that goes. Now Kai, yeah, see, I'm worried about Kai. Is that they're going to have her come back? And I think that'll just be stupid.
It's not stupid
because anybody that's like that explosion, you're dead, and it's just like just.
Yeah, their armor's not that strong. If a laser sword can go through it, that explosion would have killed her for sure.
Oh, dude. When you play the game, if you get hit once or twice by a tank, the first hit takes your shield down, and the second hit, you're dead.
Yeah.
So she would be dead in an explosion like that, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was a massive explosion.
Yeah. Now, what are they? So they got rid of Soren's wife, and I think they did that intentionally because they're going to bring him. You know, they can't have a soldier have a wife.
But he's still got a kid.
That's the problem. It's like what they could have just had her as a side character and the kid. Because what are they going to do with the kid?
I know, kill the kid off. That would have been better.
You know, so because there's no reason for the kid or the wife. What they should have done was have Soren become part of the Spartans instead of have this side story about his family.
Yeah, it would have been better, especially with how they've combined him on up anyway. So,
right.
they ended up where he would have ended up if he'd have started that way.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not sure why they did that. But
their
yeah.
penchant for trying to redeem all these different characters, too, like Halsey trying to make us feel like she's good or something. Yeah. Ackerson, now, you know, we're supposed to feel bad for him. Come on.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And you're beginning to feel plot armor and not so much plot armor now.
Right.
Obviously, you know, yeah, it's like, okay, we're figuring that certain characters are going to continue while certain ones are dead, and you can kind of figure it out. And it's kind of unfortunate. I don't know what your thoughts, Sean. You haven't said much recently. Go ahead.
I would like to give kudos to Mike, who last episode said that as Master Chief is flying to the Halo, he's going to redirect to go save some Spartans. And I'm like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, go, Mike. Go, Mike. You
Me
can
too.
Write the stuff.
I yelled out loud, Mike was totally right. He flipped the coin.
Yeah,
it made it more comical. That's for sure.
Well, that the whole introduction of him killing off all the elites was—I almost laughed because Kai and Perez are just looking instead of saying what's going on over there. Instead of because you know damn well Kai would have kept on shooting her pistol or whatever
right.
she was.
And no, she we're just gonna watch.
Yeah, we're just gonna watch. Say what's going on over there, and it's like oh my god, that was silly, but. Yeah, you know. Yeah, Mike, you called it. You were right.
Oh, man, you were so right.
It wasn't that hard.
Yeah, I was wrong. I said they were going to have 20 minutes of Halo, or half the episode. I was wrong. It was only 10. Yeah, I was kind of.
Oh,
wrong.
who said 10 last time? I think I said 10.
Yeah,
I think you said
did.
10, and I said a minute to 30 seconds.
So Barrett, you were right on.
I was right on.
Not just for the episode, but for the whole season.
The series.
Yeah, actually the series, yeah, not the season. that's pretty good. But I must say, I was shocked when the Flood showed up. I was like, I was very happy about that. because I was too. Because I thought they weren't going to have the Flood until like another season, assuming there was another season.
I think it adds a little, having more than one enemy, I think adds a much more amount of danger to them. But again, it doesn't really matter because I don't know they know where they're going.
Well, one thing I had a problem with the Flood, though, was, and it's not a diss for the movie, but Resident Evil, the movie, did it just like this. And that was good because it was the first time. This kind of felt a little bit like that. And so I was like, it was weird they were playing the cute music with it, too. But
yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah. And so that was a little weird, but you know, all in all, it was still a pretty good scene. I did feel sorry for that character though. As Mike said, the actress was really good.
Maybe the threat of the protagonists.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Because it's similar to like, The Stand where
the flood can't be all bad, right?
Yeah. It's just
some of these dumb humans, so whatever.
Well, the Flood is not. I don't think it's evil or it's just there. You know, like the shark.
Right, it exists. They're not bad guys, so yeah, they could be protagonists.
Yeah, they're dangerous, but they're not evil or anything like that. But they're definitely dangerous.
They're following the directive that they were given by the precursors. It's just that they're taking it a different way. That's all.
What else was I going to bring up too about? I did feel the attack on the ship with Kai, and I brought this up with Sean, and again, this was good. It felt like Aliens, the second Aliens, you know, the Cameron Aliens, where everything's going kinetic, where they're fighting the elite replaced the black aliens from the Aliens franchise, and the Spartans replaced the Marines. So I thought that was pretty good vibe, I felt, even though it was kind of a copy. And what else did I notice? I don't know. Where else do we want to go? Do we got anything else we want to bring up related to this episode? Well, let's talk about the Admiral. She was a strange character. I got to say, I don't know, but I'm going to say it because I know. I say it all the time, but this, I think it applies 100%. She's a one cluster B mother bleeper. She's completely cluster B.
What's worse is she came across as like your grandmother, but she's totally cluster B, so you're like, you're listening to her, and it's like, she seems so nice, but she's saying these really bad things about what's going to happen. And
I also wondered if it's the writers.
Right.
What they're giving that character. If like... Because it seemed even at the end they were trying to then make her feel sympathetic, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Here's the thing. There's ways to do her character and her character arc where you can make her a person. And I think it was trying to do the best they can in a no-win scenario, right? The person who's realizing that they're going to have to sacrifice – you know, millions of people in order to save billions. And there's ways to do that that doesn't make the character come across as an asshole. And I think that might be what they wanted to do. I think they failed at it terribly.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah,
I also thought it was unbelievable. She puts Master Chief on the line. Clearly.
Yeah, listen to me.
Clearly is aware that people are listening in on the line, right? Because that's the only reason why she's saying the things that matter and the way she speaks. Now, we understand that Master Chief is not exactly a person who spews forth the verbiage, but pretty much all he has to do is say, fuck you, you left me and my people to die, you knew Reach was going to go, and her whole thing would have just gone, right? All he had to do was spout at her what her plan was, which he's figured out long ago, and he didn't, so she was lucky, but it's just dumb for her to even get online with him in the first place. What was she expecting him to say?
Was she expecting him to actually listen to her, too? Because at this point, there's no way he would listen to her.
Right.
I don't even know why she talked to him, because she's stupid if she thinks he's going to do anything she says.
Right, right. And he already knew that she just assumed he was dead and killed him, or, you know, intentionally thinking he was left on Reach. And then he's not even really with the Marines anymore, or USM, whatever. He's going solo, and she's like asking him to do stuff, and it's like...
like he still works for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was just silly. It was like, yeah, I don't work.
I found out you stole me when I was a child, and you put me through this huge thing, and then you left me to die. Yeah, no, I don't like you anymore.
Right, right. And then, what was it? The admiral is sending hundreds of thousands of soldiers to die, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to listen to you." Yeah, okay.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Hundreds of thousands, millions.
Yeah, millions. Yeah, never mind the whole planet.
Right.
Over Reach. Yeah. It's interesting.
And it's not like, so you could buy that, hey, these people are supposed to do their job, you're supposed to do theirs or yours, but not in the situation that they've given us in this show, where they left him to die and now they're sacrificing more people. I wouldn't listen to anybody in command at that point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now we do know why they made us try to feel good about Ackerman earlier in the season, because they wanted to turn him into kind of a good guy. It was interesting how they tried to turn Halsey back into a quote-unquote good guy, you know, even though then they decided to infect her with the Flood. So I don't know.
Yeah, I really wish they hadn't had that scene with her in cryogenics.
You know what I wonder? Is as we're talking about this, I wonder if their genius idea is to make Halsey the contact with the Flood. So she'll be the representative for the Flood, or
could
something
be
silly like that.
Oh, I hope not, because the Flood doesn't communicate.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't seem like they can communicate, except by killing.
The Grave Minds or whatever do, but that's a much different situation. And that's, again, in the games, which may or may not exist in this universe, so.
Right, that's true. I don't know.
I'll say special effects were good. I enjoy the special effects.
I think, especially when we look early in the season, and there was that training scene of them climbing the cliff, where the animation looked really rough. And so to hinge so much of the climax of this episode on a one-on-one battle between a CGI, I'm guessing a CGI chief and a CGI arbiter. I think that worked very well, given the TV budget.
I would agree.
Yeah. The special effects were just fabulous. This were, you know, similar to like Game of Thrones. This was like movie quality, I felt. Speaking of the Grave Minds, that would be awesome if we ever see them. But yeah, who knows? But yeah, the special effects, I really had no problems with throughout the two seasons. Obviously, the only thing I really didn't like was some of the set designs, because a lot of it was like these basement rooms or hallways that were kind of military-like rather than city-like. But again, I was hoping more that, you know, when we started watching the season, we were going to be on Halo and most of it would be outdoors or inside the Forerunner stuff, you know. But it didn't happen that way. Let's see, where else did we want to go? Anybody have an idea?
Well,
How about the framing sequence with Wheatley there, whatever his name is? So clearly Master Chief goes into the Halo structure, finds something, and ends up having this conversation with what's his name again? Spark?
Yeah, Spark. Oracle. Oracle or Monitor. I'm not sure which one it's going to be, but let's go with the Oracle because he was the big one.
Well, he talks about something. What did you find down there? So clearly we fast-forwarded to the end of next season, I'm guessing. Right? Because this seems like the way they do things. We're just going to cock-tease you for the entire year. And so we're going to... Let's pretend for a moment that there will be another season. Like, so... Is he? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do at this point because are they going to? I mean, I guess they could just do it to the next episode, right? But I can't imagine them keeping Master Chief alone for the entire season. Just exploring the depths of the Halo. I can't imagine, you know, that they just leave Kai floating in space and God knows they're not writing Quan out.
No, she seems to be the linchpin of the whole show.
Well, it'll be curious if there is a season next season because, again, the monitors or oracles, which is what the Covenant calls them because they consider them the part of their gods, the speakers of their gods, is that in the game, he, meaning Master Chief, goes down into the Forerunner structures on the Halos, and he bumps into these oracles, and they help him out. And based off of how you said, Mike, the framing, it's as if he goes in, does all he has to do, then comes back, and then he meets the Oracle as he's leaving or something. I'm not quite sure where they're going to go. But I do hope that the Oracles do play a part, assuming there is a season three, more than him running into them just for a couple of minutes. Because they're fairly important in the games. Both as antagonists and as friends to Master Chief, depending on which game and what structure he goes into and stuff. So, but I was glad to see them. That was a cookie. That was a cookie. So, you know, if I had a checkbox of things for a Halo television series, the Monitor or Oracle would be one of them, and we got it. And it was interesting too because I was watching it, and you had already seen it, Sean. And I was texting you. I go, it looks like they did a flash forward, and he's talking to somebody. And I'm glad you didn't tell me who he was talking to, because when they showed who he was talking to at the end of the episode, I was like, now that was a damn good cookie. Made me happy, but.
But I'll also say it's one of those cookies that only matters if you've seen the game.
Yeah, you're right, because that's a pure fan service, because if we were playing the game, we meet the oracles as we progress, and so we learn of them as we progress. Here, they just show us the oracle after the fact, so we don't know. If you haven't followed the game, meaning you haven't played the game, you wouldn't know. You'd be scratching your head, I think, a little bit of what is this little floating robot?
Is that? I honestly don't remember because I haven't played the original game in 20 years.
Yeah.
To me, it seemed like if I hadn't played it, I would think it was just a robot that runs things and it greeted.
Right. Is it in the first game?
Yeah, it's in pretty much all the games.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean
different ones. Because,
now, please don't for anyone listening who was like, well, either I'm criticizing it for fan service or not having fan service. I'm fine with it having fan service. I think it's good given how little effective fan service they've had this season that they throw that Easter egg to the fans. That's great. I just don't know that that's the one you want to end off with if it's going to leave non fans with a giant question mark as to why did that matter?
Yeah, and who are they? Right. Yeah. Right, now, like, Barrett. Oh, go on.
I can say, like, the original game, like, the Flood kind of comes out of nowhere. You're going through the Halo ring, and then you make it to delving the depths of one of the obelisks, or whatever they're called, and then you unleash the Flood, and that's a sort of a, oh, fuck moment, because you were not expecting it to turn into a zombie game.
Right.
And they've kind of spoiled that, because
right.
they've now told us that. So Master Chief doesn't know about it. It's going to be an oh-shit moment for him, but it won't necessarily be an oh-shit moment in the same way for the audience. But like that, if they had ended the season with him going down and then unleashing the zombie horde, yeah, that would have been an oh-fuck moment. The fans would have had... Everybody would have said, oh, what the fuck is this? And that would have... And this, I just think, okay, so there's a little... robot butler there that he was talking to, and what does that matter? In English, mind you.
I don't think that it matters either way. I mean, it's just, it ends with that. He talks to a machine, and the machine is part of the running or operation of that thing. It's not, it doesn't need to be significant. It's just him talking to a robot.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. But it's out of context, is what I think Mike's trying to say, in a sense that...
I'm saying if you're looking for the thing to hook the viewer for next season, I don't know if that's a big hook.
I think it would have been if we were introduced to it earlier, because similar to like C-3PO, he can learn, you know, hundreds of thousands of languages and all this other crap. And he explains a little bit about the Forerunners and the Flood and all this other stuff as you go through the game, and he communicates with Cortana, and he's basically a cluster B because he's not, you know, he's a robot, so he wants to help you, but he'd kill you too if he has to, because you're insignificant to him. He just wants to work and keep the Halo working. And so had we had it that would have been cool, but you're right. For fan service, for people who know the games, it was a cool moment. For people who don't know the games, I guess they're looking at it similar to you, Barrett, which is he was just talking to a robot. But I guess, though...
We're acclimatized to robots, you know what I mean? Because of Star Wars and things like that. I mean, there's just robots, whatever.
I guess it just leaves it out of context, though, for the importance of the monitors or oracles in the game. In the series, I should say, for that matter.
As a viewer, I wouldn't think it would pertain to any special significance if right. I didn't know anything about the game, but right. Does that matter? I don't know.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. For me, it didn't matter because I'm familiar of the oracles in the game. And so they were, it was a cool moment for me. But
made me think of Borderlands.
Oh, there you go. But yeah, I wonder if most people feel like you do, Mike, which is that are fans of the game saw the monitor and go, why did they do it this way? And so I don't know why they did the flash forward. I've never liked flash forwards, to be honest. And I don't like when they have a flash in the past either. And not, this show didn't really do that, but other shows and movies do that too. But I've always liked it pretty steady in the present time. And by jump back forward, when they start season three, assuming there is a season three, we're not going to see the Oracle, right? Because we're going to have to see him walking into the building, and he's going to meet up with Mackie. So the Oracle...
Wait. I'm confused now. Are we saying that was a flash forward, him being in that tunnel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do we think that?
Because why would he be talking to the Oracle the way he's talking to the Oracle if it's just some random... because the Oracle is part of the Forerunner's technology. It's not the government.
Oracle's asking him, what did you find? At the very beginning of the episode, is asking him, what did you find in the darkness?
Yeah.
What did you find where?
In the darkness.
Oh, okay. I missed that part. That must be why I didn't get that part. Okay.
Yeah, anytime he was talking to that like, John Malkovich voice, because it sounded like John Malkovich, and it was like three or four times in the episode, from including the first scene and the last scene. The last scene, we actually finally see the...
Oh, now I can... Okay, I totally missed that whole connection between him talking to someone. I didn't realize that was that. Okay. Yeah, I missed a huge piece of that. All right. Now it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's all a
Thank
flash
you.
Forward.
That's why I was asking, why is that a flash? I thought it was just after he walked in there, he's talking to the robot who is like, yeah, okay. I get it now.
Yeah. So that's where I think we were confused. Yeah. Because so, and that was the reveal of the voice at the end was the robot. So we're feeling that it's a flash forward. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not big on flash forwards either.
Yeah, so I'm not sure why they decided to go with a flash forward, except to give us that fan service of the monitor at the end. But I would have liked them to have walked into the building, and then he meets the monitor, and the monitor goes, oh, hello, you know, like he does in the game.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? But they didn't do that. And
which is what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I'm freaking stupid. I missed the whole darkness part. Okay.
Yeah, no,
honestly, literally the first line of the episode, it's really easy to miss. I only picked it up from watching it the second time.
Yeah.
This was not a well-written thing where you can say that, like, we've seen the mistakes they've made. So for someone who hasn't been fully into the game, I could see why they would be lost and, like, what the hell's going on here.
Right, because who was he talking? Because when he's talking to the voice during the battle, because they show a scene where it's like a dream sequence where he's talking to the voice, that was the flash forward as well, because it's like otherwise it would have been a mysticism thing, right? And that way he wasn't doing it. But it was a flash forward where he's talking to the monitor.
They did not explain that very well, so I think that was really bad writing, because I did not get that. From throughout the season, I thought, you know, I didn't even realize they all connected. Anyway, that's probably my failing, but whatever.
No, I think it was easy to miss.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Well, and the other problem is I can't always hear what they're saying because of the way streaming services work now. So sometimes I just miss it, and I don't have subtitles on, so...
Right. Yeah, no, I don't think it was your fault.
No.
No, you're innocent, Barrett.
That made it totally clear for me, though. Now I get what was going on. Makes way more sense.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? Anything? Anyone on their list? Now, since no one's bringing up anything, I'll throw this out. What's people's thoughts on season 3, if there will be one? I mean, even if the series has a lot of flaws, this one episode was exciting enough that it could want people to want to continue. But I guess it comes down to money and Paramount Plus with their problems. You know, there's rumors they're going to be bought out or merge or whatever.
Yeah, it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. If you were Paramount and you're trying to sell yourself or merge with someone else, Halo would seem to be a valuable property. Would you want to be putting it on the shelf at the time that you're trying to
make yourself
more attractive?
Right.
At the same time, would you want to be telling people, hey, yeah, but just sign on. We're already committed to this TV show that's going to cost $200 million to make and declining viewership. So I could see it either way. And unfortunately, I know how the mindset tends to work in Hollywood, unfortunately. And they'll just see if there's ratings there. And they won't necessarily get what's underneath the ratings. They won't necessarily see the complaints. They won't know.
Oh, did we lose Mike?
Nope, I think we lost him.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, Mike. All right, well, hopefully he'll rejoin us. He may have gone on mute or something. But he was saying some good stuff there.
Yeah.
I agree with him, though, that Halo is a valuable IP.
Yeah.
You know, the question is, they definitely don't want to lose the rights to it. And if they do want to sell Paramount, that would be something that would interest someone that would want to purchase it, even if they would have to, they may even scrap it and start from the beginning and call it Halo.
Halo Reborn.
Or Halo Galaxy or Halo Infinite Extended or something, you know, anything. So I could see them doing that too. But either way, I don't know what it means for them not to have signed off for a season 3 yet. Maybe they feel they could just sit and wait for a couple of months. But, you know, usually how it goes when TV shows do this is they usually announce it pretty quick. If it's doing well.
Yeah.
Like House of the Dragon was like week 2, wasn't it? Of the first season?
Well, they didn't air. Same with Halo, week 2.
But keep in mind, with the writer's strike of last year and everything, everything's messed up right now. I don't know. I think things are still recovering when it comes to that stuff. So there's things getting canceled that would have gotten another season, but the writer's strike, you know, probably brought out the contracts too long and stuff like that. So now they're going away. So it's hard to say what's going to happen here. You know, I mean, it's just, it is, like Mike said, kind of up in the air. And there's so much going on with streaming right now. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, who would buy Paramount? That's my question.
Right. Well, you know, they have the right. They own Star Wars. I mean, Star Trek, right? That's valuable.
Yeah, very, yeah.
So Disney can get it. They can have Star Wars and Star Trek together.
Well, and then that begs the question, are we going to start getting into Monopoly level? And
we already are.
I do, too. But, I mean, now we've seen that the DOJ is willing to go after Apple, then who knows what could be next? I mean, that leaves on the table a lot of companies, in my opinion. So I don't know. Right. I don't know where things are going to go.
Yeah, I don't even know why they're going after Apple. I haven't really read about it. I just saw that they were, and it's like the government's as corrupt as Apple or any other company. So it's like,
well, it doesn't really matter because you know, does there need to be a reason? I mean, it's
No. The reason is always for the reason that it shouldn't be.
Right. I mean, there are good reasons that, I mean, Apple likes to keep their ecosystem closed, so that's why they're getting hammered, because there's a lot of companies suing them because of that. But there are a lot of companies that do that. Amazon does it.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
It aggravates every customer. I don't like it. I'd like to be able to interact with people that are on Apple more easily. You know, stuff like that. And so, you know, who knows? But as far as streaming services, it's hard to say what's going to happen. So whether we'll get more Halo or not is going to be dependent upon what happens at Paramount.
Right. And let's see what it says here.
I'm back.
Yeah, so Paramount. Oh, Mike's back. All right. So, so we're talking about the Paramount stuff, Mike, and Halo. Mike had his computer froze on him, but he's back. So we're talking about what you said, which is Halo is obviously a valuable property, for sure. And Paramount struggles or not, that, you know, they have other valuable properties as well, like Star Trek and whatnot. So, you know, they own Showtime too, you know, and stuff. So Paramount isn't worthless by any means. And Halo is pretty popular. But again, though, as we were saying, Mike, usually like in season 1 of like House of the Dragon, as well as Halo for that matter, both of them announced season 2 got a green light like the first week. The question is they haven't done that now for Halo season 3. So what does that mean? Does that mean they're just going to sit on it and wait until Paramount's sold? I don't know.
Okay, there's all sorts of like reasons why, and this gets into negotiations that I have no, like, way above my pay grade as to what goes into these conversations. And I'm sure there's all sorts of factors that I can't fathom. And, you know, you sit me down and explain it to me, sure. But without that, I've got no idea what really does and doesn't matter to these people.
Yeah.
And so, like, we recently did the a serious podcast on the Apple TV series Monarch, which is on the MonsterVerse. That probably is getting a second season, but that hasn't been announced. That did very well in the ratings. I'm sure there's a whole lot of negotiations and stuff that are holding that up. And then they're going to figure out when to announce whether or not there'll be a second season. So there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, like I was joking when I said Halsey getting put into suspended animation felt like contract negotiations. You know, so they have to get the actors on board. Obviously, the only actor here who really matters is Quan. But, you know, really, realistically, Master Chief is the only one that matters. And if they really want to make a statement, they could just decide to recast him and never take his helmet off so nobody notices. And boy, right. Won't that piss the fans off.
That would be a hilarious turnaround.
Well, that's what we were saying, Mike. When you get cut off, we were saying, you know, whoever bought Paramount, they would purchase it with the inclusion of Halo, and they could even scrap Halo and just call it Halo Galaxy or something. So they, you know, because they could just start over another series within the universe or whatever. But
the question is now: is Halo Infinite the current game?
Yes, that's the latest or last game. Yep, it was a great game.
Okay, because I haven't heard great things about it.
Oh, it's great! It's great! It's unbelievable. It was it's a rebound from the prior game. It's like back to the greatness of the early.
Okay.
Games. Yeah.
So the question is, like, have they damaged the property? You know, Star Trek, I think, was in kind of a questionable place because I think Discovery was divisive, but Stranger Worlds, that really I think brought it back. Most people seem to be on board with that. There's all sorts. So I don't know. I you know, do they just keep going with Halo and hurt the brand further, or you know? And besides, Paramount doesn't own Halo, right? That's Microsoft that owns Halo, isn't it?
Yeah,
but they own the rights to it. You know, sort of like Sony owns the rights to the Spider-Man. Sort of like it's actually a Marvel thing. Marvel, like whenever Sony makes the Spider-Man movie, all the merchandising still goes to Marvel. It doesn't go to Sony. So they just get the money from the film. They don't get the money from all the other stuff, the ancillary stuff. But it's still a property of theirs, and they'd be more valuable with it than without it.
I don't think they've done, like, critical damage yet. They're closing in on it. So I think they still have a chance. But, you know, the worse you do, the worse it gets, because the less money you get for production.
Right.
So they're doing themselves no favors when it comes to that.
Well,
I don't know where they'll go.
And one of the problems with TV series, the way it's structured, right, is you put all the money up in the front seats for a season, you hire your cast, you build your sets, and then all that there is, it's all built. It's all there for you to reuse the next year, right? You built the set for Cheers, and then every episode you set from there on out is set at the bar. You know, and there's a big chunk of your budget from that first season. And then, yeah, you put on like maybe somebody's apartment as a new set the next season. But there's not the same expense outside of adjusting salaries. Here, there's nothing that, what do they reuse, right? They don't have a ship they use as base. They don't have, like a standard thing like that they, like the bridge on the Enterprise, right? They're going to have to get a lot of new cast members because they've killed everybody else off. Quan. So this is going to be an expensive show to continue. I guess you could argue that they can just use the volume to continually make digital sets for, you know, the underground.
Yep. Yeah, I was thinking about that too, because even Halo, the outside Halo is just the wilderness, and in the background, you know, back in the day, you know, Roger Corman used to have matte paintings and merge them into the film and stuff, and it looked pretty cool. Here nowadays, they can just add, you know, digital backgrounds instead of matte paintings, And that looks pretty cool too. And I can't believe that will be that expensive. So you can still do a lot of a pretty cool special effects and story without a budget that will go crazy, especially now that you're on Halo, because Halo, like I said, the outdoor is forests and mountains, and the indoor, like you said, Mike, they could do green screen CGIs or whatever, like
they could do just one scene and show it over and over again for the background with the Halo. I mean,
well, and they do that in the game. You know, because you go hallway to hallway to hallway, and it works, you know. And then you come to the big open room where the monitor or Oracle is floating around, and you talk to that for a bit. And then, you know, then you go off to the next section and stuff. So I think they could do it now because they don't need the spaceships. I mean, obviously they're gonna need the aliens. So that's a lot of CGI, I guess. But I don't know how they would work it or how much it would cost, because, you know, it would be similar to like Gollum, you know, or what we saw in this season here. And killing off all the characters, as you said, Mike, and not bringing in superstar actors in lead roles saves a hell of a lot of money. So, yeah, I mean, and like you said, they could even save money on Master Chief by just having him wear his helmet for the rest of the series, you know. But and they don't, it doesn't matter who the actor is. So I don't know what they could do.
At that point, you get the voice actor for Master Chief from the games, right?
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, you could. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, exactly. That would be cool. Yeah. That actually would be really cool. He's a good voice. I got to say, that's one good thing about Halo, the games, because a lot of times the joke about games is the terrible dialogue. Halo actually has pretty damn good dialogue in the games. The characters aren't stilted, and they talk real, so it's pretty good. It's really good. Especially the interaction between Cortana and Master Chief. And then Weapon and Master Chief and Halo Infinite. Let's see, where else do we want to go? Anyone?
I wish I had been able to enjoy the series more. Because it's not fun watching something you're not enjoying or getting annoyed by. And I wanted Halo to be a good series. I wanted to be able to watch a show that I enjoyed, because I know I've gone on about this before, but One Piece was a completely different experience to this. And I wish Halo could have been half as good as One Piece was, because it would have been much better than this was, and just in my opinion. And I want to be able to have a show I can enjoy and we can have great discussions on and look forward to watching. And it didn't feel like, for me at least, it wasn't looking forward to watching this. It was become a chore and an annoyance in some aspects, because you're just seeing stuff, like it's been mentioned, it just doubling down on stuff. And you know what would have been great fan service this year, this season? Master Chief with his bloody armor the whole freaking season. But that didn't happen. So... I just, and again, like we've mentioned as well, I have, like, there's nothing against the actors or actresses in this series. They're doing the best they can with what they're given. It's the showrunners and the writers who I have many questions about.
Right. I do concur with you, Barrett, because you had mentioned at the beginning of the episode that, you know, it seems like every week we were kind of ripping into it and it was getting old doing it and stuff. And what Sean said pretty much sounds right, which is, if they had done things differently and they hadn't, and that's the weird thing about the two seasons is, okay, they made a huge mistake in the first season. They corrected that mistake by getting rid of the showrunners, and then the new showrunners did the same thing, and it was like confusing. And I guess that kind of disappoints for sure, you know.
Well, what's interesting is, so it's not nearly as bad as some of the stuff we've watched and reviewed. I mean, the Sting being one of them.
Oh,
the part that makes it more disappointing is that it could have been way better if they had done a better job. So it didn't plumb the depths, but it didn't hit the heights either. And that is definitely the fault of the showrunners.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I'm curious if it was the budgetary reasons that it was this way. Mike, you kind of alluded that you felt maybe that was part of the reason why it was this way, where they didn't show more Halo or more Aliens, you know, Covenant or whatnot. So I don't know how much that held them back, but generally, I would have been happier had they made a shorter season. Like they could have just done like 6 episodes and just focused all on Halo and the Covenant and the mystery behind what the Halo is, and then the Flood escaping, and you find out, holy shit, the whole Halo is to kill the Flood, and now the Flood's here, and the Covenant's a problem because they want to take control of Halo and use it to blow up themselves as well as everybody around them, because including the humans, because we're all going to heaven. And it's like, that would have been awesome, and they could have done that this season, you know. And an episode like this would have been a great episode to start out a season, or a series for that matter. And I wish they had gone that way.
I think we're 2 seasons deep. It's really hard to reinvent a show after you're this deep into the series. But they have left themselves in a position where I think to some degree they can. They're still stuck with Quan and the mystic bullshit. But all it takes is one well-placed bullet to end that storyline.
Yeah, because they've had no problems doing that with other characters on the show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't see how they get out of it, right? I don't see how they, without just flat out admitting it's a mistake and just saying we're never going back to that ever again, which I can't imagine happening. Are they going to blame if the show is not successful, if the ratings are dropping, are they going to complain the reason is because the showrunner fucked it up, or are they going to say the fans just aren't interested in it? You know, will they lose confidence in the project itself? And again, this is where it's hard to read these Hollywood kind of people, or show entertainment business. I don't know if these are technically Hollywood people. But show business people are often in their own little world about things, and they don't understand, like, when sometimes people get upset with a thing or not watching, it's not because they don't want it, it's because they don't want your take on it. And it's sometimes they really don't want it. But I think there is the demand here. I think the beginning viewership of the first season and the second season shows there's a hunger for it. There's an interest in it. They're just not doing it right.
I mean, honestly, there's not a lot of hard sci-fi shows out there. So, yeah, there's a niche that could be easily filled if it was done well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was definitely one of the shows I was looking forward to. I thought that I was like, this got to be good. This is done good.
We don't get a lot of space battle sci-fi shows out there. So that's why I was so excited about it.
Yeah. Same. Absolutely. Yeah. Because we were going to have the military, of like I mentioned last week, Robert Heinlein, while the story arcs and maybe the quote unquote reality of a Star Trek merged together, or basically the game, the video game. Yeah, that's why I might as well just say Halo, the video game. Because the Halo video game actually has a pretty good story. I mean, I remember Roger Ebert prior to his passing, where people were asking him his opinion on video games. And he said at the time, he understood that they're an art form and they're as popular as movies and they do have stories that are remarkable, but they're not quite there yet. And now, at this point, you know, with the games that that are out there, from Baldur's Gate 3 to any of the Halo games, there's Cyberpunk 2077, Fallout, Far Cry. Yeah, you know,
that's a fact. Red Dead Redemption. Yeah, you can go on and on and on.
I mention Nier Automata all the time. These games, Resident Evil, The Village. I mean, these games have stories, and they're pretty awesome stories. So, there's a lot of gold there, and Halo has a lot of gold, and the Flood is gold. The Oracles are gold. The Covenant's gold. The Halo is gold. So there's a lot of Cortana is gold. So there's a lot of great stuff there. And it's like you said, Mike, is it too late because you're already two seasons deep? Can you fix it? I don't know. Let's see. Anything else that anybody wanted to bring up about
I will second what Sean said. I like when House of the Dragon ended. I was disappointed. I was enjoying that show. I wanted that to continue. And I was disappointed that we were going to have to wait 2 years to get to the next season. Because I really enjoyed the show. Wasn't perfect, but I really enjoyed the show.
Which show was this, Mike?
House of the Dragon.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
This has been a chore. And I'm very much, I understand Barrett. And I didn't want to keep hitting the same complaints every week. And it's the same thing watching some of these video reviews every week. It's he's not wearing a helmet. They're not doing the game thing, damn it. When I think there was so much more to be criticized about the show, because it wasn't just they were doing the franchise wrongly. It was that they were just doing entertainment badly. And we've said this, if Quan had no place in the video game series, but if they were doing something interesting with her, I don't think we would have cared as much. There were times I liked what they were doing with Soren, and all of that ended up going no place. But when I thought they were going to do something interesting with him, I didn't mind that his character was, technically speaking, not really a part of the Halo franchise. I guess he was in one short story or something at some point, but. There were things I could have done, and they didn't. And they found the least interesting way to tell a very interesting story, or what should have been an interesting story. And I'm not sorry that we're not doing this next week.
Yeah. Oh, hell, we're not going to do the recap episode next week? The joke. Yeah, well, we haven't really been doing a lot of recap episodes recently anyway, whether series are good or bad. But honestly, I think it's more because a lot of the TV that we've done. Yeah, no, even House of the Dragon, we didn't do a recaps episode. So, so.
I think we did a recap when it's the end of the series, right? But not when it's in the mid, between seasons.
Yeah, sometimes we do an intro episode before the season. Yeah.
When it would be really superfluous with this show.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of point to it.
Again, we'll see if they announce whether it's canceled or not. I don't even know if they'll announce anything because, Black Summer from Netflix wasn't really even announced, and the director kind of alluded to it late last year, and then sure enough, it was quietly a release notice saying these shows aren't returning to Netflix, and Black Summer was one of them. So I don't know, but again, this is Halo. This is a pretty big show. It's a huge IP, unlike Black Summer. So I'm assuming we'll get some sort of big release notice, whether it's coming or gone. But it's like you said, Barrett, it's like, since it hasn't been announced yet, what's the point to, but yeah. All right. So anything else anybody want to bring up?
I have something that's not Halo related.
Okay. Is this what you've been watching or what?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let me make sure that everybody's done talking about Halo this episode and the season. Anybody or series?
Good.
All right. So I guess we're pretty much done talking about the finale, season finale. And we will go on and, since we have some time, talk about maybe other genre news that people who listen to this podcast may be interested in. So, Sean, go right ahead and start.
So I was really excited, and we talked about it offline. X-Men 97 dropped the first two episodes on Disney Plus last week.
It's an animated series, right?
Yep. And it's based on the continuation of the Fox series from the 90s that was canceled in, like, 96. As a fan of that show, watching these two episodes, the new series, was seamless. And I absolutely loved it. And I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing for the rest of the season. And I was just going to say, if you're at all interested in that, the X-Men series, this one is worth watching. As it's such a great, continuation. Like, the animation it is still the same. I think they've got most of the voice cast. And it's just, it was enjoyable. And it was so fun to watch.
One thing about the voice cast is that they got the actress back who plays Rogue, who is now a member of Canadian Parliament.
There you go.
And that she's still coming back for the show. Anyone who was alive has come back for the show. They lost a few people along the way. And they are using new technology for the animation, but then they process it in a way to make it look similar to what the old animation looked like. And it's still set. It's X-Men 97 because it's still set in 1997, and they're not skipping a beat because they're still doing storylines from that era of the comics.
Yeah, and have you been watching it too, Mike?
Yeah, I actually didn't really watch the animated series a lot, partly because I'd seen those. They were really very recent stories that they were adapting from the comics back then, and I read the comics and was like reading a remix of the comics. But now enough time has kind of gone by and I'm enjoying revisiting those stories. I think they've done a bang up job with it. And I'm pretty sure anyone who was a fan of the original animated series will enjoy this. It's new episodes drop every Wednesday. So definitely would recommend it.
That's cool. All right. Sounds good. What else, Sean? You got anything else you want to bring up?
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a game I've been wanting to play for a long, long time because I'm a history nerd. My friends actually facilitated it so I could actually play it now. It's Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because I love the history and I love the Peloponnesian War between Athens and Sparta. And so I got a chance to play it the last couple of days. It is all that I've wanted for and waited for a couple of years removed. And I was just going to say, if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed and that kind of stuff, it's a fun play. I know that the Valhalla, I think, is the most recent to Assassin's Creed, but this one was really good and I really enjoyed it.
That's good. What year did this one come out? What's it called again?
It's Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Oh, Odyssey. I can get that date. So that one is
2018, I think.
Yeah, and you're playing it on where on
Xbox, the Xbox One or whatever it is.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you have a copy of that?
I'm helping friends, so I'm using their system. So
nice, nice. Yeah. That's by Ubisoft, which is
out of Montreal.
They have their
or Quebec, yeah, too.
Well, I think they're
So I think it's this developed by Ubisoft,
well,
Quebec, and published by Ubisoft. So,
yeah. I'll tell you this: Ubisoft makes Far Cry, which is a really great series.
Yes.
They do have an office in Montreal, but their headquarters is France.
Because it says here that it's Ubisoft Quebec.
Yeah, it's one of the divisions. Yeah,
yeah.
They have one in Shanghai, Montreal, Milan, Annecy, which is in France, and of course their headquarters is in I don't know where the hell this headquarters.
They own the Heroes of Might and Magic series too, which is
yeah, they do.
Oh, headquarters in Saint-Mandé, which is in France. So yeah, so that's So they're an international type company, yeah. And also, the X-Men 97 reboot is getting a 98% good reviews out of 48 reviews.
That's pretty good.
What was the original series called? Because it wasn't called 97, right?
No, it was just X-Men.
It was just called the X-Men?
X-Men.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, and that ran for like 92 to 97. So that's probably why they're calling it 97.
Yeah,
audience score is 92% as well. So that's pretty solid.
This is the time the critics and the people are actually agreeing.
I will say, bold choice giving Magneto one of the ugliest costumes in comic book history ever.
But it's still fun.
And in hindsight, we know this now. Back at the time, they didn't realize it was one of the ugliest costumes in history. They should know better now. But nope, they're gonna maintain fidelity to the source material.
They're leaning into it, so that's good. Right. And the one thing I was going to say about the Assassin's Creed is that I love the graphics. I love being able to jump off of ancient temples. And I just love the gameplay is really fun. So I'm done.
Right. Now, is Scarlet Witch in X-Men 97? I haven't
seen her mentioned for it.
Right.
But, I mean, we could see what happens. Because there's a whole thing where they could do, like, the House of M and stuff, where she makes all the mutants vanish. But I don't know if they would do that in that series.
Yeah, I don't remember where the right, because what happened, Marvel was on the verge of going bankrupt in the early 90s, and they sold all the rights to their characters. And so certain characters went with certain properties, right? So someone like Venom would go with, when they sold Spider-Man's rights to Sony, right? Venom went with it, Dr. Octopus, Green Goblin, and so forth. When they sold Fantastic Four to Fox, the Skrulls went with Fantastic Four, and Dr. Doom went with Fantastic Four. X-Men went to Fox. But they kept the rights to the Avengers. The problem is Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver originally appeared in, like, X-Men number 1 or 2 as the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, maybe 1 or 4. But then they spent most of their career in the comics as part of the Avengers, so their rights were a little iffy as to who actually controlled them. So I don't know if they would have actually ended up being used in the X-Men series or not.
Right.
Because one good thing about the Fox was that in the 90s, when they had both the X-Men and the Spider-Man show, they actually did a crossover where they brought Wolverine to Spider-Man and Spider-Man to the X-Men. It was cool. So that's one good thing about when you actually have the kind of rights. So.
Right. Anything else, Sean?
No, I'm good on my end.
All right, sounds good. What about you, Mike? What do you got?
The only thing I've watched that I think is relevant to Halo is I finally watched Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon on Netflix. I've got a bad head cold, and I was all the work I was hoping to do this weekend. I didn't. I just crashed on the couch. It's okay. It's basically Star Wars meets Magnificent Seven, which means it's basically Battle Beyond the Stars. But I had way more fun with Battle Beyond the Stars. Admittedly, that was like, I was like 9 when that came out. But my standards were much lower. I'm not saying Battle Beyond the Stars is a better film. I'm just saying I had way more fun with it. It's very much Zack Snyder in that it's very slow paced and
long.
Takes itself very seriously. People said it was like 3 hours long. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes, which is not unreasonable.
This version. There's a second version coming out.
He's got his Snyder cut version coming. But I didn't see like I was watching this. I didn't feel like lost in the story or there were major character arcs cut out or it's basically, you know, your rural planet under threat by the bad guys and we have to go and gather up some hotshot people to help save our little farming place from the bad guys, and it was fine. It was not great. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I don't want to buy the action figures. But there are some people who absolutely love it. So if you like Snyder stuff, certainly you probably would have already checked it out. But if not, give it a shot. I kind of like the villain for much of it. It becomes a little bit too. At the start of it, I liked him, and it became a little bit too much Dash Twirly as the show went on. As it went on, I think there's some interesting things in there too. So it wasn't horrible. I'll give it a meh.
All right, sounds good. Anything else, Mike?
No, there's some horror-related stuff that I'm sure we'll discuss when we get to Dark Discussions.
All right, sounds good. Referring to the Dark Discussions podcast. All right, anything you, Barrett, you want to bring up?
Just that I've started playing Baldur's Gate 3. I'm really enjoying it. It's like it's like being in an actual D&D game. It's pretty close in just playing how it plays and everything. It's a lot of fun. I've been playing a paladin. I lost my paladinhood. I regained my paladinhood.
Oh, nice.
yeah. So it's pretty fun. It's a neat game. I'm not very far in it because I try to explore everything, and there is a lot in this game, from what I can tell. I haven't gotten very far.
I mean, you played Diablo 4.
Did you break the rule about self-stimulation?
I have not gotten any self-stimulation from this game quite yet, except for killing goblins, and that's why I lost my paladinhood, because they had a city and I killed a bunch of them.
Nice.
They're evil.
I was going to say, you played Diablo 4. Which one would you say you were having more fun with?
Oh, Baldur's Gate, for sure.
Baldur's Gate.
Very different type of game, but Diablo 4 has many issues that hopefully they'll address at some point, but they have not yet.
Right. Anything else, Barrett?
We finished the Last Airbender on Netflix. I thought it was pretty good. It was very enjoyable. Your kids would probably like it, Phil. It's a fun one. There's no real blood in it. There are some people that get burned alive. That's about it.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. That's about it. All right. Sounds good. For me, some horror-related stuff, as Mike said. We'll talk about that in the Dark Discussions podcast. But some video games, playing Baldur's Gate 3 as well. I'm doing a Barbarian. And as Barrett mentioned, by saying he was losing his paladinhood and back and forth, it's definitely the game is very different for every player. There's some paths that everybody can do that's the same. But one thing or one person you ally with can change the entire game for everybody else. So Barrett can, I don't have to worry about anything about losing my barbarianhood, like he has to do with his paladin and stuff. So it's a really good game.
No fear of them taking away your fur bikini.
I tried to look. I haven't found any bikini armor, unless you have the PC version where you can, add that mods. But they do have tight armor and things like that. And then you can also have no armor and run around in your underwear or naked if you really wanted to. But yeah, I have a barbarian that's kind of like a Red Sonja. Woman, amber hair, and muscular, and barbarian, as mentioned, and I named her Freya after the Norse god of war and beauty, which is the woman, Freya, one of the twins. Frey was the other male twin. The game is really good. I'm enjoying it more than Diablo as well. Diablo 4, even though Diablo 4 is a pretty solid game, as Barrett would probably agree with, even though Baldur Gate 3 seems a little better. But they are very different games. And then for people who enjoy science fiction and Halo, Nier Automata, that video game, I've been playing that as well, which is a really cool game. And I'll just do the quick synopsis of it again, which is aliens invade Earth with a robot army, and the humans have a android army, And 10,000 years in the future, all the humans and aliens have died out or been killed, and all that's left is the androids and robots, and they're still fighting each other because that's what they're programmed to do. And the robots are beginning to evolve and become more human, while the androids, which look human, are a little more confused. And then we learn all these things that are occurring behind the scenes that maybe a little more than we think. And so if you like science fiction and hack and slash games and adventure games, this is a really good one. And since it's from Japan, it has a very much of an anime feel. And I've been watching the anime TV show Nier Automata, which at this time, March 25th, 2024, is on Crunchyroll. I'm not sure if you can get it elsewhere, but that's where I'm watching it. And it's really good. It follows the game perfectly. And both the anime and video game are high recommends. And I know, Barrett, you just purchased it. You got it on sale for $15.
I did, yeah. On Steam.
Steam, yeah. And you can get it anywhere, Xbox, wherever. I played it on Xbox. And it's one of those games that are a few years old now, so similar to Halo Infinite, that you can get it cheaper than the original $60 or whatever. So I highly recommend there. All right, so that's pretty much what I've watched. So I guess we can get into our final thoughts on the episode and the series and any further opinions on a season three. But let's get into some other things, which is, Mike, what's that main podcast that me, you, Barrett, and co-host Eric do?
But it's the Dark Discussions podcast, your source for horror film fiction and all that is fantastic. We mostly review recent horror movie releases. We're going to be releasing a smaller film, I think, that just came out in theaters this Thursday. We've knocked off a few Patreon reviews recently as well. And then we've got, I think, a slate of some bigger theatrical releases coming up because we're hitting that part of the year.
Yeah, we started with Dune, as a matter of fact, Dune 2, Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and that episode should be coming out in 2 weeks from now. So, yeah, next Thursday, the 4th of April, 2024. And, Barrett, what's that other podcast that me and you do, or you and I do, and then we have other co-hosts that join us, and we talk about various things, and what do we talk about?
Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. It is the place where we do things that Dark Discussions either passes on or doesn't want to do.
Or sometimes miss.
Sometimes miss. We interview directors, writers, we review books, we have special theme months. We do all sorts of different things on there.
Yep, very good. And Sean, what's that podcast that we did on Netflix TV show that we just wrapped up about a month and a half ago?
That is Boa Hancock and the One Piece, based on the live-action One Piece series from Netflix, which is absolutely fantastic. And if you haven't watched it, check it out and treat yourself, because it is well worth watching.
Indeed. And Mike, what's the name of that podcast that me, you, and co-host Eric do on the side? And we'll probably pick up an episode in April, since we just wrapped up the Halo series.
Yeah, that's Cinema a la Carte, which is another show where we do things that we don't normally just cover on Dark Discussions podcasts, and that we would occasionally get into arguments as to whether or not we should cover a show that was not Dark Discussion material, but we wanted to talk about it. So rather than argue over whether or not to cover it on Dark Discussions, we take it there. And ironically, while it was intended to cover newer material, we generally instead go for more or less older stuff. Could be a few years, could be many years, that we just feel like we're in the mood to watch. And we take turns. The next film we're doing is a film, which is a sports film. But we've done all sorts of genres outside of the horror genre, from animation and comedy and action and thrillers and westerns. So that's all there. That comes out more sporadically, depending on when we could squeeze it into our schedule.
Indeed. And Barrett, June 16th, 2024, a Game of Thrones spinoff podcast will start up again as House of the Dragon comes back. What is that podcast that people should be watching out for in a couple of months from us, all of us?
Oh, my
me,
God.
You, Mike, me, you, Mike, and Sean.
I didn't realize.
Dragons.
Thank you. I didn't realize it was coming back in June. I thought it was like fall. Holy crap. Nope. Decimation of Dragons. Okay, yeah, we'll be talking about some dragon killing.
Yep. In a show that has dragons.
Yes.
It does, yes. Yes.
Not
it's
by
in
the
title.
End of the book.
Not by the end, yeah.
It's in the title, and they actually appear. That's right.
But not
they're
a lot
all
going to
die.
Not a lot of houses. We're castles, the challenges.
That's true. That's true. That's true. So, so we'll be coming back doing that in, let's see, April, May, June. So 3 months away from now, actually. Yeah,
that's going to be a busy month for us, Phil.
Yeah. Because we got a theme month for Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews, which we do an episode a week every June, rather than sporadically like the podcast sometimes is, like Mike mentioned, with Cinema a la carte, where it depends on timing and such. So, yeah, that's going to be good. All right, so I guess we can give our final thoughts on Halo Season 2, this finale, and any thoughts about where they will go with Season 3. So let's go with you, Mike. What do you got?
Yeah, arguably the best episode of a show that isn't particularly good. Again, if it's got fan service, finally, for people who are real hard diehard fans, but I still think the writing is not particularly good, yeah, despite the production values. I think it would not be particularly good if this was a brand new series that had nothing to do with Halo. That's kind of what it is to begin with. I just think that it needs a better guiding hand. I think a lot of the talent is in place, but whatever their vision is, it is not working.
All right, sounds good. Let's go with you, Sean.
Yes. So I've been negative Nelly pretty as much as I said, pretty much every episode, which sucks. I really wanted it to enjoy the series. As Mike said, this was probably the best episode, maybe aside from Reach, of the series. But having 2 out of 17 episodes isn't enough to like justify it. I hope that whatever they decide to do, they get showrunners who actually admit to actually acknowledging the source IP they've been hired to do, and that the actors that are involved will be given something much better to work with, because it's not their fault that the writing and the showrunner's view or perspective on stuff is messed up. And as I say, I wish I could have enjoyed this much more than I did. And maybe it'll get changed, but I'm not going to hold out my hope for it at this point.
All right. Sounds good. For me, I enjoyed this episode because even though there's stuff that bothered me a lot, there was enough cookies to make me happy. And if there is a season 3, it sets it up in theory to be mostly on Halo and have the Flood involved and everything. Basically, it's like a nuclear bomb that dropped off, blew up, but it was all good instead of bad. It didn't destroy anything. It added and it brought everything we wanted to it. So that's what I'm hoping for next season, if there is a next season. But I was fairly disappointed with the 2 seasons as a whole, because the whole 2 seasons should have been like this last episode, where this would have been a perfect, like I said, first episode of the series, and started there instead of the 16 and a half episodes we had to go through to get to here. So, it is what it is. We'll see if there's a season 3, how it goes, changes and whatnot. But based off of what we got, it's mixed. It's most certainly mixed. Let's go with you, Barrett.
Yeah, I thought it was the best episode of the series. I liked this episode generally, but when taken in the whole with everything else,
You could only really give it a mediocre because of everything that came before it. I'm not sure I foresee a season 3. They have not said anything about it. I guess we'll see. But I'm not hopeful or anything that there's going to be.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So, that, concludes our, podcast, at least for this season. We're assuming, in a year or 2 years or whatever it takes for, the show to be made, assuming there is a season 3. I think there's enough here, especially where they left us off, to have, something that exciting and positive to talk about possibly in a season 3, if there is a season 3. But, our goal, even though I haven't spoken to the other three members of this podcast, is to hope to come back if there is another season of Halo and do Cortana's communiques once again, and weekly talking about each episode whenever she comes back, if it does come back, because as we know, a lot of shows nowadays take 2 years to come back instead of waiting, you know, less than a year or half a year. So that's pretty much our podcast. Once again, you can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com. You can go to the website, www.darkdiscussions.com. You can go to the Facebook group, Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group. You can help us with Patreon, since we do have bills, as Sean mentioned earlier. And we do have other podcasts that you can hear us on. So go to Dark Discussions Podcast, and you can find that feed anywhere podcasts are found, and you can join us there, and then you'll have the Dark Discussions podcast, the Cinema Our Car podcast, the Bo Hancock and the One Piece podcast, this podcast, Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews, and then there was even a release this week of Fishnet and Phantoms podcast by Amy Rain, who is sometimes co-host on the Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews podcast, where she talks about Dune Part 2. So there's a lot of good stuff on that feed, because it has multiple podcasts with the same podcasters that you hear on this podcast. So that's pretty much it for now. So I guess, anyway, let's go around to each person first. Sean, you have anything to say to any of the listeners?
Just thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be able to do this every week or for whichever podcast we're doing. Thank you for your support, whether it's financially or sharing it on social media. And just, again, thank you for giving us the chance to be able to have a forum to do this.
Indeed, indeed. Mike, anything you wanted to say to the listeners before we start wrapping it up here?
Yes. If there is a season 3, it will begin with Master Chief not on Halo, but on a UNSC ship with a blank memory as to what's transpired the previous few days. There will be an entire season of him trying to unlock those memories, and it won't be until the final episode in which we unlock the memories and find out exactly what transpired with him on Halo in the darkness. And we're going to go through a whole season of it all over again. That's my prediction.
Barrett, anything you want to say to the listeners?
Thanks for listening.
Indeed. And same here. Always appreciate people out there that listen. We've seen people download the episodes. Unfortunately, we didn't get any emails. But we've always noticed that our male-themed podcasts, and generally people would consider Halo a male-themed show, don't get as much emails as our female-themed podcasts or shows.
Which is weird. And, you know, that's a Kwai-centered show.
Kwan, you mean. But, yeah. Like, for example, history. What the hell is
History of Witches, right?
Discovery of Witches.
Discovery of Witches. That TV show, we did a podcast on that yearly as well, or seasonally as well, called Discovery of Witches, Demons, and Vampire is the podcast, and we got emails like yin yang crazy, and it was all woman, and it was we were the biggest all male and the only all male podcast about that TV show. We were told by the representative of the author of the books. So it was interesting. We just don't get as much email from our male listeners, unfortunately. But I would like to thank all the people that did listen, and we saw that you were out there, even if you did not speak to us. All right. So with that, again, we'll hope to be back when season 3 comes out, if there is a season 3. But either way, I guess, Mike, why don't you lead us out?
All right, well, thank you for listening to Cortana's Communiques for a second season. This was, of course, the wrap-up of the season finale and the second season, and we will see if there's a third. If not, we hope to hear you hear from you on one of our other podcasts. And if there is, we hope to see you again in a year or two or three or 17, however long it takes to get to season 3.